First, because you refuse to be vaccinated. It's costly these days to have a conviction and to be a Christian. I'll save the word for Katie at some other point. I'm reading from Luke chapter 8, and then we'll call Bill to share. Luke chapter 8, starting, you know the story of the seeds, the sower and the seed, etc. You know most of that story. I'm starting at verse 8b. When he said this, Jesus, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Good word this morning, right? If you have ears to hear, we're not just hearing words, we're hearing the message, the word of God from the Holy Spirit. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they cannot believe and be saved. That's a danger for us when we hear the word. All right. Secondly, there are those on the rocks, are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, pleasures, and COVID, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. That's what we want from the word this morning. All right, not just to hear it, but to produce a crop. No one who lights a lamp and hides it in a jar puts under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed. I believe that's happening in our day, all right? And nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. So we're very grateful for the words spoken faithfully, regularly by Bill. If you want to come, we'll just listen to the words. We're listening with intent of obedience, not listening to be entertained. And so we thank God for the word. And we thank you, Father, for the word you've given to Bill. Meditated on it. And we are trusting that you, Holy Spirit, will speak to each one of us. We want to retain the word and do something with it and be obedient to it. So I ask that the release of the word today would be anointed by the Holy Spirit through Bill and in our ears. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.
Those in-house, those online, it's good to gather together. It is always good to gather together, especially the reason we are gathered to lift up the name of Jesus. And from my vantage point, I see a whole room of people. But if I take the time and look at each of you individually, I see individual people. So how does God look here this morning? He sees the crowd, but he sees all of you individually. And I will guarantee you, he sees you different than how you see you. No matter how free you become in Jesus, and there is freedom in Jesus, right? He sees you as better than that. And as I was sitting in the back, I was reminded of a very familiar psalm. So I want to highlight this because some of you need to hear this or need to hear it again. For you, which is God, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When was the last time you told yourself that? And when was the last time you told yourself that and believed it? When was the last time you so embraced it that it gave you the life that is in the Word, as Graham just highlighted, that the Word is alive? It's God's seed. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Jump forward, verse 17, Psalm 139. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. Now, our God's eternal, right? Is there ever a pause in his thinking? So right now, this very moment, regardless of where your headspace is, regardless of how you see you or perceive you or someone else, this is what God says about you. His thoughts towards you are precious. How many? Look at the text. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. I don't know if man can put a number to the grains of sand on planet Earth. But God's thoughts towards you are as many or more than that. And he never has an evil thought toward you. If you have a misunderstanding or a wrong understanding of God, it's because somebody has misrepresented God to you. And I know our Bibles say our God is a consuming fire. No one can stand in his presence and live. But our God is a loving Father. And I love how the Holy Spirit already here this morning. Do you notice the thread? The songs that Cam and whoever, maybe Cam and Lisa picked, presented to us? How great the Father's love to us. Jennifer, excellent. What Graham shared. So regardless of how you see you, God sees you better than that. This morning we're looking at one little phrase, picking up somewhat where we left off last week, and that phrase is looking unto Jesus. And I'm going to read again Hebrews chapter 12, just verses 1 and 2. It's simply the springboard. I'm going to go to other passages, because this is a good season, as good a season as any season, to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So read with me out of Hebrews 12. Verses 1 and 2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's where we were last week, to run by faith with endurance. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now I'm going to presume that it may not be difficult or fearful for you to look unto Jesus. He's the nice side of God, right? Were any of you raised with that kind of a mindset? You know, he's the appeaser. Because God's angry with the wicked every day. The Bible tells us that. Listen to this psalm, Psalm 34, 4 to 5. I sought the Lord, which is Yahweh. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fear. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Now imagine, these are the Israelites, these are the Jews, who could not stand at Mount Sinai, but said, Moses, you go up to God, and then you come back to us and tell us what he said. They did not dare stay around this rumbling and noisy and fire-spitting mountain. But the text says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Do you see the tension? This consuming fire, and somebody dare to seek him? How do you come to God? How do you see your Father? How do you see God? How do you see Jehovah? How have you learned to see him and understand him? Apart from Jesus Christ, no one can receive comfort by looking to Jehovah God. Because Jehovah tells Moses, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Because Moses said, Lord, I want to see you. I want to see you. Now, Moses was the only person that says, you know, every other person, every other prophet, God met them in dreams and visions, but Moses, he talked to face to face. I believe it was what theologians call the theophany. He talked to the second person, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Because no one shall see Jehovah and live. And so God said, okay, I'm going to press you. You go into this crevice in this rock, and when I pass, I'm going to cover you so you only see my hinder part. Wow. What hope does a sinful world have with a God like that? What hope does religion have with a God like that? However, when we look at God as revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord, our enlightened hearts cause us to be cheerful and comforted. That's the text. Can we read it again? I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fear. They looked to him and were radiant. Why? Their faces were not ashamed. Their faces reflected what had the enlightenment that had come within. Is that you? Is it just a pasted on smile this morning? Or is it because the life of Jesus, the love of God, and the proper fear of God is just bubbling out of you? And that's how you know God. I want to illustrate this text with the theme of looking unto Jesus by looking to Jesus from different aspects. Now, I know I have way more on my iPad than I will get to, and I'm actually asking, hoping God will interrupt somewhere halfway through. I don't know why, but that's just what I think needs to happen. I'm not here to make anything happen. So I want to illustrate this text by looking to Jesus, because as Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father, John 14:9. So Jesus came and drew a picture of God. So right away here, ready, we have something to set us at ease. Okay, wow, I can take Jesus. And so if Jesus was a perfect reflection of the Father, of God, of Jehovah, then I may have had a misunderstanding of who this Jehovah God was and is and will be. So the first, you want to look to Jesus on earth when he was here. Now, what comes to mind when you think of Jesus? What do you think children would have may have noticed or experienced, even without putting it into words? What do you think the beggars and the blind and the lame and the lost and the prostitutes and the publicans, what did they experience with Jesus? Acceptance, love, oozing compassion. Matthew 9, 35, 36, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Who would have liked to have been alive 2,000 years ago? But God put you in this world for now. This is your season. This is your watch. This is your opportunity. We live in a better day than in Jesus' day, despite I too would have liked to have seen these things and heard Jesus directly. Because he's come and left us his spirit. And it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now, it's not very difficult to go to the Gospels and find examples of his compassion, right? He had compassion on the multitudes because they were like sheep having no shepherd. Matthew 14:14, when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. He saw a greater multitude than here. This particular multitude was 5,000 men alone, plus women and kids. He saw the multitude, and on the multitude, which meant every individual there, he had compassion. He was moved with compassion for them, and one of the ways his compassion showed was he healed their sick. Can I just put a brief plug in here this morning? If you are here this morning and you have physical ailment, please do not leave before somebody lays hands on you and declare healing over you in Jesus' name. And if you have a soul owie, don't let me minimize that. If you got an emotional pain you've been carrying that you don't want to carry anymore, please do not leave this place. This place is to be a place of healing. It is the place of life because Jesus is here, and in his name, the sick get healed. I'm waiting to hear after the service. Somebody came this morning and said, I got a story of divine healing. Can I tell you? I said, well, not, I want to hear it, but just not right now. So he's going to tell me later. God does these things in the 21st century. But he also, not only does he touch the crowds, he touches individuals. Mark 1, 40 to 42. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him. You ever have that? Somebody comes to you and says, you know, please, 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 can you help me? And you don't have the capacity, the ability to help them, but your heart oozes with desire to help, but you can't. They're asking for $5 and you're flat broke that day. At least you're not carrying any money. You want to help them. A leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling to him and saying to him, you know, imagine a leper, I mean, he had to step out of his comfort zone, right? Because he had to cry out, unclean, unclean. He wasn't allowed around the crowds. And here yet he came from wherever he was, and he comes to Jesus with this hope, with this maybe, what if? If you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. The very thing that nobody was allowed to do and remain clean was touch a leper. And the very thing he would have longed for. I don't care what your love language is. I'll guarantee you all of you like to be touched in one way or another. Human touch. Thank you for sitting shoulder to shoulder here this morning. You didn't have an option either, did you? Unless you're in the front row. We need human interaction. And so here's a leper. When was the last time somebody hugged him, somebody touched him out of compassion and care? But here he comes to Jesus. If you're willing. And Jesus didn't just say, be healed. He touched him. That's your Father. If you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Who needs a touch here this morning? Who needs the Father's embrace? Who needs the Father's heart? Who needs to know that they count, that they matter, that He cares? Things you're tired of telling people because you think they're tired of hearing them. Things you have buried so deep, you don't dare bring up. He cares. Because he's compassionate. What does it take for a Pharisee like Nicodemus to come to him at night? What does it take for a publican, a tax collector, to leave his stuff and follow Jesus? Somebody who deeply cares about every part of his life. All the time, unconditionally. The Father this morning, Jesus, he sees your condition. And he's heard you. So why have some of you stopped going to him? Why have some of you stopped hoping? Why have some of you stopped asking? As if he doesn't hear, he doesn't want to know, he doesn't want to help. What's your view of Father God? Oh, I know he delays his help. I know it's disappointing, and I know it's hard to keep going. And I know if you look at 5 years ahead, it's like hope can be dashed. But he told us, the Father told us through Jesus, don't worry about tomorrow. You got enough trouble today. And he's willing because compassion moves him to act. The one who is so unapproachable because of the light, the glory that he emanates, is moved with compassion for those who will not let go but lay hold of him. If you're willing, you can make me clean. And he says, I'm willing, be healed. I'm willing, be saved. I'm willing. If you feel like the leper, I know some of you do. If you feel like the leper, you're unclean, when no one else will touch you, the Son of Man will. He will never say, no, not today. Come back tomorrow. Never. Despite your experience. Never. This is what he says. Look unto me for healing. Secondly, we look to Jesus on the cross. You know the Bible stories. Let's go back. Imagine in your mind, there's Golgotha, there's the hill. Three crosses, midday. Three men on the cross. You're back far enough, you can get a picture of the overview. There's a crowd around there. There's Roman soldiers around there. And you come closer, and the two on the outside are criminals. And the one in the middle, above his cross, it says, King of the Jews. That was his crime. That was the accusation. That's what most of the crowd saw. But there were some around the cross who saw it different. They saw their master, who they had followed, who they had believed in, who had empowered them, who they were hoping would set Israel free from the oppression of the Romans. They saw that man on the cross, struggling to breathe, struggling to what we take for granted, breathe in, breathe out. Mary saw her son. The one who'd never sinned. She knew that. The one she'd been told about. Her heart would be cut. She pondered all of these things and kept them in her heart. And a number of women saw a man who had healed them, set them free. Mary Magdalene, out of whom had been cast seven demons. Set free. There he is. What did God the Father see? What did he see? His son, willing to pay the price for your and my sin. When you look to Jesus on the cross, what do you see? I know the cross is empty today. Hallelujah. The grave is empty too. That's a hallelujah too. And heaven has him. But when you look at the cross, when you look, read the accounts, all four gospels give the account. And they all give a few little details. What do you see? A savior for that one? And for that one, but he passed you by? What do you see? A Savior who paid for your past sins, but not the one that's hovering over you right now? The one you gave into? The one that's too big to forgive? What do you see? An example of righteous living? Do you have an understanding of what Jesus came to do? Do you have an understanding of the relationship and the communication and the agreement between the Father and the Son regarding us sinners before we were saved? If you've come here this morning doubting God's love and mercy, look to Jesus on the cross. Here was his physical trauma. Let me read it. Nails driven through the arch of each foot. As the arms fatigue, great waves of cramp sweeps over the muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless, throbbing pain. With these cramps comes the inability to push himself upward. Hanging by his arms, the pectoral muscles are unable to act. Air can be drawn into the lungs, but cannot be exhaled. Jesus fights to raise himself in order to get even one short breath. Finally, carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and in the bloodstream, and the cramps partially subside. Spasmodically, he is able to push himself up or to exhale and bring in the life-giving oxygen. Every breath, for hours on end. Cruel death. Slowly suffocating to death. Never mind the back that has been opened up through the whipping as he raises and lowers. Then the spiritual trauma. Because the two beside him experienced the same thing. They may have, we don't know if they got whipped the same. But for the first time in his life, forsaken by his father. My God, why have you forsaken me? Hebrews 12, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Endured the cross, despising the shame, for the hope that was set before him. Your redemption, your forgiveness, your restoration from death to life, from hopeless to hopeless, from dark to light, from unforgiven to forgiven, from lost to found, from blind to seeing, eternally, forever and ever. If God was not full of compassion and mercy, would he have given his son to bleed and die? He shed his blood so you could be forgiven. And then his crucifixion. Battery's gone? I'll carry on. Let's power this one up. Okay? 1, 2. Coming? Nope. Not yet. You can hear me? Is it amplified? 1, 2. Okay. There we go. I'll turn this one off. I'll carry on with this one. His crucifixion. Okay. All right. Back. Testing. Power. There we go. All right. Good. His blood, your sins forgiven. His crucifixion. He died as a sinner, so you no longer need to be called one. Let me talk to the believers here this morning. Are you a sinner? I heard a no. Do I get a witness? I want lots of witnesses. You're no longer a sinner. He took that curse. He died to forgive you of your sins because you were a sinner, and by being crucified, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we may be called righteous. You are now a believer. You are saved. You are set apart. You are redeemed. You are not a sinner. Some of you need to repent of that and find some freedom. You know, if your sin, do you know if your sins are forgiven? Now, we can presume, because just because you walked into this building, everybody's a Christian here. I'm not going to presume that this morning. I'm not going to. Even if you're raised in a church, I don't know what church you're raised in. And I will not talk down on any church, so let me remain very general. There are churches who do not believe you need Jesus to be saved. There are churches who do not believe that Jesus or God that I'm preaching this morning, if I'm accurate to Scripture, they don't believe that. He is some far off, some far away, some unnatural being that we can't get into touch with. Somehow he is the creator, but that's kind of where it goes. They have lost the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the simplicity. Repent, look to Jesus, and be saved. So if you are here this morning and you do not know if your sins are forgiven, you need to look to Jesus. If you know God is God, there is a God, but do you know Jesus? Do you know your sins are forgiven? A child should be able to understand the gospel of salvation, right? If you repent of your sin and believe that Jesus died for you, you will be saved. We confess with the mouth and believe in the heart. And the promise of Romans 10:9 is we will be saved. Some of you, that may have been 20 years ago, 5 years ago, or you may have never had anyone to encourage you or give you the environment to say, that's me. And I don't know if we're going to cut it short, because I'm not going to get to my notes. Because the third one is we look to Jesus and his resurrection, and anyway, I don't want to tackle it. That's too big. And then the last one is I have another one after that. And it's 11:15, 12:15. But I felt impressed before, and I feel it here now, okay? I'm going to sense, that there needs to be opportunity here this morning for anybody here. I don't care how young, how old you are, how long you've been in church, how much you have to have the right vocab. If you do not know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior today, do not harden your heart, but let the Word of God pierce you so you can receive freedom. Now, we don't have many altar calls here. Not because we're ashamed of them, but today there is time for an altar call. We even have a baptism tank. It just has no water in it this morning. But next week we can. If you do not know, let me say it again, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that God is a God of compassion and mercy, who looked the other way when his son was on the cross, when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then you need to get to know this God, so your face can radiate, because your heart is full, is overflowing with his goodness and mercy. And please, where I started from the outset, God, we see us, God sees us, but he sees you individually. Do not let the fear of man deter you, please. This is between you and Jesus. This may be your hour, this may be your day. And if you want to recommit your life to the Lord, hallelujah for that too. I know you can go home and you can deal with Jesus on alone time. You can. And some of you may choose to do that. But I want to say to you, let me just start with the oldest. Your oldest one's here. Even if you've been in church 60 years and you don't know that if Jesus comes back today, or you don't know that if life ends for you today or tomorrow, that you're going to be facing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, give heed. Down to the youngest, if you're 3 years old and you can understand what I'm saying, you can give your heart to Jesus today. If you say, I want to know that Lord, I want to know this God of mercy and compassion and love, who never has one evil thought towards me, but who's filled with compassion, who heals and who raised the dead and he casts out demons and he says, okay, as I've trained you, now you go do the same, because this world is a dark and evil place. You see, I need Jesus, you need Jesus every day of our lives. We don't know what we're facing, but we don't have to face it alone. And why would you want to? So I'll stop telling what I'm going to do and we will do it. If that's you, I may ask somebody to play a keyboard. I'm not trying to set an environment, but I believe it's a good environment. So the first one on the keyboard gets the seat. Or if it's strumming guitar,